Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Continue our study and our preaching here. We've been in the first chapter of James for a little, probably about a month and a half or better. And we're talking about your spirituality. How do you measure how spiritual you are? Some people measure their spirituality in things they do or don't do, or clothes they wear, or music they listen to or don't listen to, and if they have a TV, if they have a VCR, or whatever else, and they say that's a mark of spirituality. Well, that's not according to the Bible. In fact, the Bible gives us, in James chapter 1, it gives us four things that will give you an indicator of how spiritual you think you really are. And in chapter number 1, we pick up just a little review here. James writes, as he tells us in verse 1, to the 12 scattered tribes of the nation of Israel. These people had gone through great persecution. They had gone through great adversity. And James is writing to these. He's not writing to a particular church. He's writing to the believers. And he says in chapter 1 that you will experience some difficulties and adversity, and you'll experience some trials in your walk with the Lord. How you respond to those trials is going to determine how spiritual you really are. If you look at it and you say, hey, this shouldn't happen to me, and let me just go on record and say this. We believe and we preach that God is a sovereign God. That means that His ways are always perfect. He doesn't have to explain anything to us. A lot of times people say, well, I want God to give me an answer. My friend, there may be some questions that you'll never have an answer for. And some people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and that. No, when you get to heaven, you're going to have perfect knowledge. You'll look back and you'll understand everything that happened was for a reason, for a plan, for a purpose. I was talking to my nephew this week, and he had some adversity in his life. He worked for a company for years and had a good job. And then through a series of events, his job ended. And I said, Andrew, you understand that this is the providence of God. And he said, I know. He said that day that they came in, and he was in management, and he and they came in and they had this thing set up. You know, they were going to get rid of him. And they thought he was going to get angry and upset. And he was calm, and he opened not his mouth. And I said, they didn't understand that, Brother Chip. And friend, you know, if that's a mark of your spirituality. You know, when your boss comes to you and says, hey, we've got to let you go, or somebody blesses you out, somebody cusses you out, how you respond to that is going to be a measure of how spiritual you really are as a Christian. If you take that and you retaliate against it, somebody come up and they just get in your face and they get angry with you and they just want to cuss you out. How you respond? You remember what Jesus did when Jesus was reviled? He opened not his mouth. When they beat him mercifully, when they scourged him and pulled his beard out of his face and put the lashes on his back, he did not. He could have called 10,000 angels. When they nailed him to Calvary's cross, he could have called the angels and set him free, but he did not. God had a plan and a purpose. Y'all hear me out? God has a plan for your life. God is not. Listen, I was thinking about this the other day. Brother Craig, I was thinking about this. The Bible said that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, wait a minute. You know where I'm going with that, Brother Chip. Don't even say it. Watch out. For some of us, he's having to do subtraction. For some of us, we don't have as many as what we used to have. Amen. But I thought about that. That the very hairs of your head, Brother Craig and Brother Chip, he knows exactly how many is up there. If he knows that, my friend, if he knows the very hair, the number of hairs, do you not think that he knows about our problems? Do you not think he knows about our situation? Do you not think he knows about our trials that we go through? And so James says there are four things. We've already dealt with a couple of those. The first thing is the trials that come to your life, how you respond to those trials. Do you blame God? Do you get upset? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? Do you get out of church when adversity comes and heartaches come and death comes and job loss comes and your boss is just irate with you? Do you just fly off the handle? Do you say, "Hey, I can't handle this. I'm gonna quit reading my Bible. I'm gonna quit going to church. That's just a bunch of hypocrites down yonder, and I'm just gonna stay at home on Sunday mornings." Well, then, that's not a real mark of spiritual Christian. Amen. Now, can I say something? Thank God for internet. We're broadcasting live this morning. We're going all over the world. There's other people that listen and watch. Thank God for that. Amen. And there may come a time for every one of us that we may be bedridden. I've got a preacher friend, Brother Jack Lemons. He had a stroke some years back, and he can't go like he used to go. He's in a wheelchair now. And there may come a time in our life, and thank God for radio and television and internet and broadcast. But honey, I got news for you. If as long as you are able to be in the house of God, I believe you ought to be in the house of God. Thank you. And here's a mark of spirituality. When things happen, and things beyond your control, things that you cannot determine, I don't know about tomorrow, the song I just sang, I don't know, but I'm glad that I know the one that holds tomorrow. I know that he has already gone before me. The shepherd goes before the sheep, and he prepares the way. He knows what's ahead of us. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds tomorrow. Brother Steve just mentioned, you may be sitting here today, thank God for good health, thank God for good. Listen, I'm glad. Somebody asked me how I'm doing. Hey, if I was doing any better, I couldn't stand myself. Amen. I feel good, I do. I feel great. But friend, tomorrow may be a different day. Tomorrow may. Listen, I've seen things change overnight with people. I'm talking about health-wise. You could be in the best of health today. I've got a good preacher friend, Brother Bray over in Reedsville. And we were at camp meeting together in June, just the first part of June. And his family was there, and his wife Linda was there. And we talked, and Brother David, and so they left camp meeting, went down to the beach for a couple of days, and then back to this church. And then the next week. He came into the kitchen, and his wife was sitting in there, and she couldn't talk. And they took her, and she had bleeding on her brain, and she is now, she's back home now. But my friend, she had a major stroke, and she's just now being able to get some of her mobility back. But it changed, her life changed in one day's time, one night's time, and that can happen to you. I pray it doesn't, but it could happen to you. How you react to that. Well, so that's number one. Number two is the temptations. James tells us there that how you respond to temptation. Temptation, as we studied, temptation is not a sin. Somebody help me out. Come on. Temptation is not what you do with that temptation. Temptation is where God, temptation is where the devil puts something out front of you and he entices you. And what I like about this is that James says, I'm a fisherman, y'all know that. But he said, look there in verse number 14, every man's tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and he's enticed. That word enticed in the Greek has to do with like trying to catch a fish. You use a particular bait. I've fished for years. I fished with my daddy when I was a youngin', I've fished with everything you could probably almost. I've had bloodworms and Georgia jumpers and night crawlers and branch grubs and catawba worms, and I fished with corn. I fished with salmon eggs. I fished with lures. I fished with planers. All kind of stuff over the years. But I want you to know something. I don't fish the same way for everything, and the devil is smart enough, he's had a lot of years experience. He don't dangle the same bait in front of Brother Chip as he does in front of me. He don't dangle the same bait in front of you as he does somebody else. But he dangles that bait in front of him. He knows he's trying to entice you. You know what that fish does? He sees that worm, and that worm's just squiggling around. And that worm, he says, boy, that looks good. I bet it tastes good. And all of a sudden, he sucks it in his mouth. And honey, then you set the hook, and you got him. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to dangle that bait out in front of you. He's enticing you to bite it. And honey, what you don't understand is there's a hook. And once you get hooked, the devil's got you where he wants you. Amen? Third of all, here we are this morning. And I want you to turn over to another passage in just a minute. But look in verse 17. We talked about this, started last week. Every good, every perfect gift cometh down, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Can I go on record and say something right here? Everything you've ever got, everything you've ever accomplished, every dime you got in the bank, you didn't do it, God did it. The car you drive, the house you live in, you ought to thank God that he gave you the ability. You say, preacher, I'm a self-made man. No, sir, you're not. God did it. Every good gift, every perfect gift, every raise, every bonus, everything God's ever done for you, it's because of him and his great mercy, not because of what you've done. If it wasn't for the good grace of God, we'd all be bums out on the street with a cardboard sign somewhere. Somebody see me. Amen? Some people get high and mighty and they look around and they say, look what I've done. No, honey, I'm going to tell you something. God gave you the intellect. God gave you the ability. God gave you the mind. God gave you the strength to do whatever you've done, whether it be something mental or whether it be something physical. God has given it to you. We ought to thank him for it. Because, honey, he can take it away just as quick as he gave it to you. Verse 18. And so of his own he begot us with the word of truth. There it is. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man... I like this. Let every man be swift to hear. And what? You know why God gave you two ears and one mouth, don't you? You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Somebody say amen. Amen. I did tell you all about the preacher. I may have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you one more time about the preacher. You know, he always just preached 20-minute message, Brother Chip. Did I tell you this? He preached a 20-minute message. Every Sunday, a 20-minute message. Every Sunday, 20-minute message. One Sunday, he got up yonder, sis. He got to preaching. He preached an hour and a half. Going out, people shook his hand. One fella, he was bold enough to say, preacher, you've been preaching 20-minute messages for umpteen years. This morning you preached an hour and a half. What happened? He said, I was getting ready. And I was in the dark this morning. I put my wife's false teeth in instead of my false teeth. No, he didn't. Swift to hear, slow to speak. This old tongue of us has got us in a lot of trouble. Anybody else like that? There have been many a times that I should have backed up and put the horse back up to the wagon and waited instead of engaging this tongue. And we're going to get to that. That's another mark of your spirituality. Some people say, I just say what I think. Honey, you better guard that right there. Amen. But we'll get to that. That's the last one. Let's get on down here. And so he said, be swift to hear, so to speak, and slow to wrath. And so let's skip on down here just a little bit. And verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, if you was reading that in the morning during your devotions and you read that, you'd say, I don't know what all them big words mean, so I'm just going to go on. Maybe it'll make sense later on down. So let me explain what that means right there, okay? When he says all filthiness, that is any impurity that cleaves to the body, but it is applied to the mind. It implies any unholy afflictions mentioned in verse 15. Here it is. What that means in verse number 21, that superfluity of filthiness. He's talking about pride. He's talking about vanity. He's talking about malice. He's talking about wrath. He's talking about evil speaking. You know what that stuff does? Look what it does. He says, for that In verse number 21, that superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. When you have that kind of junk in your life, you'll never get the word of God down in your heart. Boy, I got two on that one. Let me try it again. When you have that kind of junk in your life, you'll never get the word of God down here. And where the word of God needs to get, it needs to get down here that can save your soul. He's talking about your mind, your will, your emotion. And friend, what happens is when those things are in our life and we don't deal with them, they choke the word of God. And that way the word never gets down deep in us. Amen. Now with that in mind, would you go with me please? Turn back. I felt like I need to do this. Would you turn with me please to the book of Mark and chapter number 4. And here I felt led... to do this. And so would you just go with me? Would you turn? If you're not going to turn, at least just rustle the pages. Make me think you're turning. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I need your undivided attention. I see what time it is. All right? I see what time. So listen, I need your undivided attention. That chicken will wait on you. Amen. Hardee's will still be selling biscuits. No, they won't. Amen. McDonald's will. Amen. Y'all want a biscuit? Mark chapter 4. This is the most important parable that Jesus ever spoke about. You say, prove that to me. Well, I'm glad you asked me. Verse 13, Jesus said there, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? He said, if you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand the rest of them. A parable simply is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable has come from a Greek word, parabola. It means to go alongside, to cast alongside. So when Jesus told this story about the sower and the seed, he is illustrating another picture. And in fact, he tells us what he is illustrating in this passage right here. Let me give it to you real briefly. In this passage, he's talking about, and this is probably one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible having to do with the sower and the seed. And so in this passage, let's look in verses 1 through 8 real quickly. Let's pick up verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Here is a man who has an apron on. He's got seed in the apron. And he's going out and he is going to plant seed. And the way he doesn't go out and dig a hole, he takes that seed and slings that seed out. And the seed falls on the ground. And the seed will hopefully get down into the ground and germinate. By the way, y'all that are farmers, y'all understand this. The seed has to die before it can produce any fruit. And until you and I die, we'll never produce any fruit. Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, listen, I have to mortify the deeds of this flesh. I put to death the deeds of this flesh. I've got to die daily. I have to deprive it. I have to mortify it. I have to deprive the life out of it. If I'm ever going to do anything for God, I've got to die. And so the sower goes out. Notice in verse number 3. And so it came to pass. And verse quickly, watch this now. As he sowed, notice there's four types of soil. He said some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then birds. Birds came and they that seed laying out on the ground before it could get down in the ground. Them birds came out there and they picked the seed up off the ground and they ate the seed and it didn't produce any fruit. Read on. Some fell on verse 5. Some fell on stony ground. They hadn't got all the rocks out of the ground. He went out there. He didn't till the soil, or they didn't take the tractor and plow it up. They didn't try to get all the rocks out. They throwed the seed out, and there was a lot of rocks in that soil. And so here's what happened. Verse number 5. Fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. Didn't have a whole lot of topsoil. Didn't have enough ground. Had a lot of rocks. Some of them you couldn't see. They were underneath the soil, but they were there. And so what happened? And immediately that seed began to germinate, and it sprang up, it pushed up, and it began to grow. But there was a problem. The problem was, in verse 5, it had no depth of earth, and so once it grew, once it began to spring up, the sun beat down on it, and it died because it did not have any root, had not enough soil to get root. Read on. When the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And here in verse 7, some fell among thorns, and thorns grew, choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, some fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. But they all produced fruit that fell on good soil. And so the disciples said, and Jesus said, let him that hath ears, let him hear. And when all that was done, the disciples came to him secretly, and they said, Master, we don't quite understand what you're talking about. Would you explain this to us? And he goes on to say in verse 11, he talks about the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he said, all things are done in parables. And he said, the disciples said, why do you talk this way, Jesus? He said, two reasons. Make it so simple, everybody could understand it. But also, I talk that way so that these religious crowd, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they'd be confounded. They'd say, that's just too simple. We've got to have more depth. That's just like a kid could understand. Yeah. Yeah. And so they said to Jesus, well, Jesus, would you explain that to us? All right, verse 14. The sower soweth. Y'all say this next word. The what? Right here. Sower. What am I doing this morning? I'm trying to sow some seed. This is the seed. Hear me out. If the seed gets down in your life, it will produce fruit. No doubt about it. You don't have to get Miracle-Gro. You don't have to get Scott's fertilizer. If the seed gets down where it ought to get, it will produce fruit. The problem is getting it down here. Hello? We've got, read on here. Let me explain. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside. When the word is sown, and when they've heard it, oh, preacher, I tell you what, that's the best message I've ever heard. Boy, I tell you what, you expounded the scriptures this morning. Boy, I tell you what, I really got something this morning. Put her there, preacher. Oh, listen, that was such a great message. I hope somebody else got it. Read on, verse number 15. When they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately. Y'all look this way. Some of you right now, you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. Some of you right now are wondering, did I turn that oven off or did it leave it on? When we get out of here, how long is it going to take for me to get down to the cafeteria? Am I going to beat the Methodist crowd or not? When you get out of here, you're trying to figure out where you're going to go, what you're going to do. You say, hey, this afternoon I got to go to Walmart. Everybody got to go to Walmart sometime or another. I got to go to Walmart. Kids' clothes. School's coming up. I got to get some clothes. I got to get notebooks. Don't worry about the notebooks. We got notebooks and pencils and stuff like that. We'll have enough for them to get started. But, I got to run here and I got to run there. And you know what? Oh, I don't know if I'll make it back for church time or not. I got so much stuff to do this afternoon. I just don't know. You know what Satan has done? Right there in verse 15. He comes immediately. And when the word, watch it now. And he taketh the word that was sown in their heart. Once the word of God is sown, once the preacher tries to sow it and it gets down, Satan comes. And you know what he does? He gets your mind on something else. What kind of video game I'm going to play? What me and my girlfriend's going to do this afternoon? Where are we going to go? We're going to go down to Cookout. We're going to get us a milkshake. What flavor? Peach? You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I've illustrated this before. You sit down and read your Bible. You sit down and borrow your Bible here, Brother Chip. You sit down and read your Bible in the morning, and you say, I'm going to read my Bible before I go to work. and so I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. So here it is, 7:30, and work. I got to be there in 20 minutes time. So and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Ears. Oh wait a minute. I got to get my ears are hurting. I got to go by and get some eardrops, and I got to stop by the store on the way. Oh, by the way, yeah, I got to pick up some snacks for the kids. And you know how Satan does that? He'll get you distracted. He'll get you thinking about something else, and the word will never get down here. That's his job. Read on. What am I saying? The mark of your spirituality. The mark of your spirituality is this. Is the word accomplishing what it ought to accomplish in your life? Have you got the word, or you just think you got the word? Oh, read on. And verse 16. Y'all still with me? All right. They'll have some hot chicken when you get there. All right, hang on. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which is sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they receive it with gladness. Oh, I tell you what a service we had this morning. Oh, I tell you what a service. Man, didn't Joanne play the piano? Boy, wasn't that good? Amen. And Miss Portia, boy, she sang, I bless my heart. Talking about what a day that's going to be. Oh, my soul. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? And so forth. And look what happens. They receive it with gladness. But they don't have any root in verse 17. And so they endure for a little time afterwards. Oh, but before Monday comes, they got some bad news. Before Monday comes, their boss has called up and said, hey, we're going to have to put you on short time this week. We ain't got enough work for you this week. We're going to have to cut your pay this week. Oh, and what happens is this. You receive the word with gladness, but because of the cares of this world, it's snatched out. It's snatched away. And that's what the devil wants. He knows, Brother Craig, if it gets down in your soul, it's going to produce some fruit. So you know what he's trying to do? Trying to snatch it. Get it out of there. Get your mind distracted. Get your thoughts on something else other than what you've heard. Hey, can I tell y'all something? Now, some of you maybe grew up at the time. Brother Chip, do you remember blue laws? Did they have blue laws around here? Did they where you grew up at? Huh? Greensboro. They had them in Raleigh, too, where we grew up. Brother Craig, you know what blue laws are? Oh, do you do? How many of you do not? The younger crowd don't know what blue laws are. Raise your hand. Oh, some of you adults don't. Blue laws, if I remember correctly, Miss Tina, you couldn't open a store on Sundays. Kmart closed on Sundays. We didn't have Walmart, we had Kmart's. You couldn't, if you needed something, sis, you had to get it on Saturday, because on Sunday, they shut everything down. You know why? So you go to church. I remember them days. It hadn't been that long ago. This man right here, he's not as old as I am. He remembers them days. What am I saying? We've got enough distractions out yonder. When the word of God is sown inside the church house, when it's sown over the internet, we've got enough distractions. We don't even have to go to Walmart. We got Amazon now. Stay at home, do your shopping. Free shipping. And I wonder, yeah, Walmart does it too. You buy your groceries online, everything. What are we saying? We're saying we've got more conveniences today, and yet we have less time for the Word of God. Them old people years ago, them old timers, them grandparents, them great grandparents, when it came supper time. After supper time, what'd they do? They sat down with the family, with the Word of God, and they read the Word of God together. They prayed together. And we had some strong families back yonder. Amen. Satan's smart. He wants to snatch that word right out of you. Read on just a second. Hang on just a second. Watch this. They had no root. And verse 18, these are they that sown among the thorns. Look in verse 19. What are the thorns, preacher? The cares of this world. Some of you sitting here right now, and the cares of this world has bombarded you. I mean, you thought you left them out yonder in the parking lot, but just as soon as you walk inside the church house and you shake somebody's hand, you sit down in your pew while the choirs are singing, the cares of this world come back to you. I've got to be here. I got to do this. I got to go there. I've got to plan this. I've got this. I've got to get my calendar out. I've got to get my phone out. I've got a million and one things I've got to get done before tomorrow. The cares of this world will snatch the word out of you. Read on verse 18. Verse 19, and the deceitfulness of riches. Can I ask y'all a question if y'all like me? Have you noticed that the more money you make, the more you spend, and the less you have? Anybody else like that? Yeah. That's deceitfulness of riches. The world says you need to make more so you can have more, enjoy more. Can I tell y'all something? If you hadn't figured this thing out yet, everything around you is going to be ashes one day. And by the way, if you try to leave it to your kids and grandkids, they're just going to fuss and fight over it. Hello. I'm being real with you right now, folks. Hey, I like that. When this old fella passed away, they got the family all in. Him and his wife, they passed away. And so, his kids thought, hey, boy, Daddy's done left us a fortune now. Man, I just can't wait. They were living on Easy Street. They were thinking, oh, man. And so they got inside a lawyer's, and they sat down in front of the lawyer, and the lawyer opened up. He said, this is the last will and testament of your beloved. And he said, he started off, I, John Doe, being in sound mind and good health, I spent it all. Left them nothing. Deceitfulness of riches. You work hard. You think you're gonna be set on Easy Street. And by the way, what? Go back to that verse in James. Everything that God's ever done, He's done out of His goodness. You didn't deserve it.
Amen.
But the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, my friend, how mature you are in the Lord is going to be manifested in how much you love this book. Hello? Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thy words are sweeter than honey, like the honeycomb. I like honey. I told somebody, I was up Brother Eric's not long ago, and I said, Eric, you're up here in the mountains. I said, and some of these guys here, they've been with us. We go in the mountains. I love sourwood honey. I love sourwood honey. But it's hard to find. It's scarce. And I asked Eric, I said, you know anybody up here's got sourwood? He said, yeah, preacher, I do. I said, you do? He said, yeah, how much you want? I said, how much you got? He said, my daddy, and his daddy's been dead now about 4 or 5 years. He said, daddy bought like a whole bunch of it and it's stored out yonder in the barn. I said, glory to God. Amen. But you cannot find sourwood honey now. But I love sourwood honey. And you get a big old hoe cake. Amen. Somebody know hoe cake. And some butter, Amish butter. And slap that butter on that biscuit and pour some sourwood honey. Oh, my soul, your brain, your tongue will smack your brains out. Amen. It's good. Yeah. And the Bible said, the Word of God is like that honey on a hot biscuit. Woo! Don't get much better than that. Last thing I want to share with you, and I'm done. But you notice here, back there, where Jesus is talking about this seed and the sower, and there was one other thing that I wanted to, one other thing about, and notice, let me find my place here. In verse 4, would y'all, and I'm done. Mark 4:4. And as he sowed, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. You know what another problem we got today? Satan and his birds. The fowls of heaven, those demonic powers. They want to rob you. And when that happens, you know what you've got to do? You've got to kill some birds. You've got to shoo them away. I don't know, Brother Wright, Brother Reese, they may do it today. I don't know. I see it every now and then. Brother Chip, I know y'all put stuff out to keep the deer away sometime. But, you know, they used to put scarecrows out. I don't know if they do so much. Once in a while, you see somebody standing out there and you think it's a scarecrow and you pull up and it's a farmer. He's been got, you know, standing out and, hey, put a scarecrow out there. Keep the birds away. Put tin pans out there. You know, make noise. Keep the birds away. Why? Because when that seed gets down in the ground, it's going to germinate. It's going to produce some fruit. But then birds come. And you know what you got to do? Honey, you got to do this. You got to get out yonder and you got to say, hey, shoot, get, wave them birds off. Because if you allow them birds, Satan's emissaries, demonic powers, they're going to rob you of your seed. How mature are you? Thy word is sweeter than honeycomb. It is my meditation all the day long. I wonder, we're all guilty of this, but compared to how much TV, video games, Facebook, everything else, if we put all that together, I wonder how that would even out with how much time we spend in the Word of God. Hey, I'm as guilty as you are sometimes. And you know what I got to do? I got to shoo them birds away. Get up! Because if I don't, that word right there, it ain't going to do me any good. I can have it laying right there on my desk. I've got 3 or 4 Bibles in the office there. I got Bibles at home. I got them in my bookshelf. I got them everywhere. I got them on my desk. But if I just leave it laying there, it ain't going to do me a bit of good. I got it on my phone, got it on my tablet. I got it everywhere. I got the Bible app everywhere. But if I just got it there, it ain't going to do me any good. The Word has got to get down. And that is a mark of your spiritual maturity. Don't tell me how spiritual you are and you don't read this book. Boy, she got quiet on that one, preacher. Time to go home. Before we do, Miss Joanne, Miss Bonnie, would y'all come? Brother Darrell, would y'all come? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I'm not preaching.